This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. There is a lot of depressing deferred stuff right now. We'd like to take a moment to salute the families who had big celebrations planned for the summer, like weddings. Big splashy weddings aren't a recipe for a happy marriage, nor are they a thing for everybody. But for some, a wedding is an event that people dream about and plan for years. As couples navigate their tough decisions, venues are also feeling pinched and juggling a lot of rebookings. Rebecca Moser is general manager at Castle Farms. If you don't know, it is a gorgeous venue for weddings and other events in Charlevoix. Rebecca Moser, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you, April. I'm happy to be here.
So wedding venues were among those closed under the emergency order and have remained closed for several months. How did that impact Castle Farms' bottom line?
Yeah, you know, we're still actually calculating what exactly this is going to impact us. You know, understandably, we had income that we were expecting from weddings this year, and now we're actually seeing that this is going to be affecting us a little bit longer term as we have postponements into next year. Of course, preventing us from potentially reserving a new reservation on those dates. You know, I think as much as it is impacting us as a business, we are feeling for our couples during this difficult time and are happy to work with them to figure out a way to accommodate, you know, even though it is going to impact our business. So as far as, you know, actual numbers, I think it's going to be a bit before we can see the full impact for sure.
So how do you even do the logistics of this when you have people who couldn't hold weddings in April and May and a calendar that may just have a lot of uncertainty for the rest of the year and going into next?
Absolutely. It's been a learning experience as we go, and definitely some trial and error and finding the best way to accommodate our couples. Thankfully for us, and I know this isn't the case for many venues or many couples during this hard time, we actually do offer a postponement option for our couples. So in our original contract, thankfully for those couples going through this difficult transition, they knew going in that they had an opportunity to be able to postpone actually up to a year from their original date. So we did see early on in March when we first were shut down and we didn't know how long this was going to affect us, some of those couples chose to push their wedding date later to this year. And actually, unfortunately, some of those couples are rescheduling for a second time into next year because of all of these changes. So navigating it has been just a case-by-case basis, connecting with our couples individually to find out what's going to work best for them, what we are able to do within our contract terms, and making some slight altercations to our contract to make sure that we can accommodate our couples the best we are able to.
I have to ask, having been a rather amped up bride myself, have any brides cried as you've been talking to them?
Absolutely. And that's understandable. You know, this is such a high emotion event. You're emotionally invested in your wedding. You've been planning for a year, sometimes 2 years, and to see all of those things that you were looking forward to changing, it's going to be emotional. And I think we've tried really hard to find that empathy, and we feel it ourselves. We understand this is our heart and soul. We absolutely love what we do as coordinators at the Castle. And so I think being a sounding board for our couples to be able to let it out and cry a little bit that they're disappointed is okay. It has changed our communication with our couples actually pretty dramatically. We've always been a very personal experience for couples. We want them to get to know us and to feel comfortable with us, but I think we're now getting to know our couples on a much deeper level. I think we're being very open and very honest and having just different types of conversations than we would have necessarily had, you know, 6 months ago. That professional boundary of friend and professional is a little bit more blurred when you have to be so open and raw when it comes to dealing with COVID. And I think that our coordinators have found that perfect balance of keeping it a professional boundary, but also feeling with our couples and crying with our couples and letting them know that we understand that it's difficult and we're feeling it also.
When you were deciding how to reopen, what were your biggest concerns?
Safety of our staff and actually of our guests and our couples was probably among the number one concern. You know, we actually are in a region where we are able to be open at this point for a larger capacity than most of the state. We are considered to be in a region where we can actually have a capacity inside of 25% of our current fire code capacity. So that gives us a range of up to about 100, 150 people in some of our locations. So when we're looking at our reopening plan, following the executive orders to the absolute best of our ability was number one, because those orders are put in place for a reason. You know, we want to keep our staff safe when we're having people attend a large event, and we want to keep those guests that are attending feeling comfortable and feeling safe that they're going to be able to attend an event and not have a huge risk put on them as far as potentially contracting COVID.
Rebecca, as we've seen over the past couple of weeks, there are some businesses that reopened with some strict rules and cleaning policies and plans for social distancing and masks for staff. And they found that some individuals were not okay following those rules. As a venue, how can you handle that? Are you telling couples things about what's expected of them and their guests?
So we actually have not had our first event post-COVID yet. It'll actually be this upcoming weekend. It'll be our first wedding of the season. And we are being very open and very clear with our couples about what's expected and how, giving them suggestions of how to communicate those to their guests ahead of time. And, you know, making sure guests plan to bring a mask, making sure guests know that they're going to be expected certain things throughout the, you know, wedding event. So weddings are definitely looking very different. I see some long-term potential changes for how people plan weddings, how people, you know, plan their decor or plan their food and dessert stations. But we are doing our absolute best to make sure that we have very clear guidelines set out to our couples and letting them make the decision whether or not that they're okay having a wedding under those guidelines, or if they're choosing to postpone because there are some that may not want to wear a mask during moving up and about in the room. Or there might be some that choose, you know, we don't want to have to cut our guest count. And that's okay. And we're working with them to accommodate a different date if that's the case.
I noticed the Castle Farms website says there's always a silver lining. I think you get the Optimus Prize for the year.
Well, thank you. We've been definitely trying to encourage our couples that we're still excited to have their event, even though this is an absolute unprecedented time of uncertainty for ourselves and for our couples. If they still want to have their event, we still want to make sure that they know we're excited. It might be different. It might look different. It might feel a little bit different. But we are going to make the best of what we're able to do and what we're able to accommodate while still being safe and still following those executive orders.
Rebecca Moser, General Manager at Castle Farms in Charlevoix. Rebecca, thank you.
Thank you so much for the time, and I appreciate the talk today.
The honeymoon is already over for the Michigan brides and grooms, who have a lot more time on their hands than they may have expected this summer. Shelley and Corey Von Aachen were set to tie the knot on April 4th in Detroit. And a mere 2 weeks before everything was finalized, COVID struck. They join us now. Shelley, Corey, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you.
Hi.
You two had such great plans. You were set to get married at the Guardian Building, right?
Yeah, we were. We were going to have about 170-ish people at the Guardian Building in downtown Detroit to celebrate our wedding in the beginning of April.
For those who don't know, the Guardian is this just breathtaking Art Deco structure. How far in advance did you have to reserve that?
I think we reserved in early October is when we decided on the Guardian Building.
Oh my gosh! So there's one bit of money that is probably not coming back anytime soon. Was the venue very very helpful in trying to get some alternative arrangements planned?
Yeah, everyone was pretty great. Although we weren't able to get any money back, we were able to secure another date for next April. So we're hoping that things improve and we can have a celebration next April at the Guardian Building using some of the vendors that we had already given deposits to.
But the space that we were going to have the reception, actually, they're not going to have available for receptions anymore. So we're going to use a different space in the Guardian Building. So plans have changed a little bit, but I guess a year later, I guess that's to be expected.
No kidding. Corey, did you guys have your marriage license all set to go?
No, we did not, because I had been traveling for work. And so that was one of the things that once I got back, we were hoping to do. And we didn't get that done before everything shut down.
So, I mean, when we say there was no wedding, there's also kind of no marriage license, which means no documentation of you two as a couple, even if you did try to scale back the plans.
Yeah, we were hoping to do that. We were saying, man, well, if we could just get a marriage license. And actually, Shelley's mom had told us it was the week after the 13th. So it would have been, you know, the week of March 16th. And Shelley's mom said, you guys should go get your marriage license now. But we had already come out to the west side of Michigan.
Do you remember the day when you realized everything was going sideways?
Yeah, I'm pretty much, it was, I think, March 13th. I'm a teacher. So on like the evening of March 12th, schools were canceled in Michigan till April 6th. And it just seemed like this isn't going to happen. And so we didn't, you know, we thought about it for a day or two. And then that Sunday, we made the choice to like officially call it off. And that was sad. But we were hoping to figure out a way to still get married.
You guys had a pretty sizable guest list, 170-ish people. Were many of those folks coming in from out of town?
A lot were. Yeah, Corey's actually originally from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I'm originally from Charlottesville, Virginia. So we had a lot of family traveling from lots of different places. And then Corey also worked in Brazil and lived there for 3 years, so we had some people coming internationally too.
Oh, man. That is just tough. I'm just rolling through in my mind everything that one has to rearrange in this situation. You have to figure out what to tell your celebrant, the caterer, the floral company, the issue of the reception hall that you already mentioned. I mean, putting a wedding in motion is a lot of work. I can only imagine how much work it is to sort of undo everything that you'd planned.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure it's tough too for all the different vendors and businesses, because they're trying to figure out what to do. And, you know, even a week before everything really shut down, we sent a message to everybody saying, hey, are we still good for this? And everyone said, well, we're going to be as safe as we can, but, you know, we'll try and have the show go on. But then, you know, after everything really shut down, there was nothing we could do. But I think some businesses we had a little bit of a tougher time getting a hold of, because they were probably, you know, in first place trying to figure out what they were going to do with their businesses during this whole situation. So, you know, we tried to be respectful of that too, to say, hey, you know, we understand our wedding is not necessarily the number one priority, but it was nice. Everyone was really gracious and helpful. So it's, although not ideal, it's worked out okay.
Did you decide to do anything special on April 4th, the day that you'd planned to get married?
We didn't decide to do anything special, but our family decided to do something special for us. So Corey's sister actually had sent out an email to gather videos from all different people in our family and in our wedding party. And then the night of April 4th, they sent us that video. And then we were supposed to have like a family Zoom call, like a game night or something. And they surprised us because it was like a ton of people too. So that was fun. You know, we did a little first dance for people on Zoom, even though we weren't really married.
Oh, that is so cute.
To cheer us up a little.
Yeah, we had a little Zoom dance party with all, I don't know, at least 50 people on the call. So it was kind of funny.
Do you guys mind telling us your meet cute story, the story of how you became a couple?
Yeah. So we both lived in Detroit in the New Center neighborhood. And Corey lived in a house down the street from me. And there's some really big houses in that neighborhood. And we both lived in big houses with lots of housemates, and I was babysitting at the house that Corey was living in, and so I met him there. And then, you know, he lived on the street, and I would see him then sometimes at our gym. We went to the same gym. And then I, like I said, I'm a teacher, and I got kind of roped into coaching soccer at the school I'm working at. They were like, no one can play soccer if someone doesn't volunteer. So I did it, but I knew nothing about soccer. But then I would notice that Corey wore all these soccer shirts to the gym. So I was like, I'm going to get this guy to help me coach soccer. And then the rest is history. So we became closer friends. And yeah, we've been together for 4 years.
That's a good strategy. And you, it sounds like you were able to have something of a celebration with people you're close to on the lake in June, right?
In May, actually. So in early May, we finally got through to the Wayne County Clerk. It was pretty funny, actually. We were on a walk, and Corey was like, maybe, you know, maybe it's not meant for us to get married right now. And then it was like divine intervention. He got a call from the Wayne County Clerk, and they were like, you can come get a marriage license. Like, here's this crazy process to, you know, get an appointment and contactless and all that sort of stuff. And then we got a marriage license in, I don't know, the first or second week of May. And then we were able to kind of coordinate with our closest family for them to come up. And on May 23rd, we had a wedding of about 12 people total. Yeah, right at our little lake cottage. So it was really nice.
I like it. Very old school. Would you say the delay in your formal plans, do you think it means anything in how you guys feel about being together right now?
Not for me. You know, we had been discussing and contemplating getting married for a while now. And so we were just kind of waiting for the right time with our siblings getting married and things like that. So we were ready for this move and all of that. So it was somewhat of a formality, especially since we've been living together for a couple years by the time we decided to make it official to get married. So not a ton has changed.
No, nothing's really changed. And I, you know, my mom, she likes to joke sometimes, and she was like, in the beginning of all this, when everyone was quarantining at home, she was like, you know, if you can be like the only people you see each day, every day, all day, you guys are definitely going to make it. I mean, I agree. You know, we get to spend a lot of time together, and we love each other a lot, and we're happy. We're happy that we're together and grateful for that.
So how is quarantine working out, newlyweds?
It's great, you know. I think I could probably do Corey's job because I listen to it work. And
I think I could not do Shelly's job because teaching
virtually is a challenge.
Oh. Well, listen, you two, we really appreciate your being willing to tell us about this, and we're sorry about your plans, but it sounds like you've been able to make the best of a bad situation.
Yeah, it's not been so bad. Like Shelly said, it's just nice that we can be together and be here, and it did work out, you know. Eventually it wasn't quite the way we planned it, but we pulled it off, and it's kind of a funny story to tell down the road.
Corey and Shelly Van Aken of Detroit, guys, thank you so much.
Thanks
April. Thanks everybody.